welcome. You are here with Dr. Nilda Perez with Business Foresight, creating strategies towards your extraordinary future.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Dr. Nilda Business Foresight Radio. Today I have a fabulous guest, and it's amazing. So now I'm getting global guests, and today's guest is Mirella Sula. She's a journalist, a trainer, psychologist, and she's worked in the media and education for about 15 years. Her background is in psychology, journalism, teaching, coaching, media training, and she's also a publisher and an editor, the chief editor of Global Women Magazine, which we're going to be talking about at length, and you're going to know a little bit more about this magazine. It's fascinating. She is the organizer of the Global Women Summit. This is amazing. So she's the creator of the Migrant Women platform and the organizer. She's a migrant woman. She also does the organizer also of the Migrant Women Conference in London, UK. She is a mentor and entrepreneur. She's studying for her PhD in psychology at Regent University. And Mirella is the author of several best-selling books. One of them is Don't Tell Your Mind. What is it? Don't Let Your Mind Go. Don't Let Your Mind Go. And this is published both in America and in Turkey. So it's at least dual language. Then in 2014, she was selected as one of the top 10 women entrepreneur leaders for Women Entrepreneur Day in ICSB. Then, if that wasn't enough, she has also won the award as the inspirational woman in 2015 for human rights. And in 2017, she won the Up and Coming Inspirational Influencer. I can't believe that you're even here. I don't know where you found the time, but I am so excited and so honored. How are you, Mirella?
I'm fine. I'm very good. Thank you very much. And it's my privilege to be here with you. And thank you for having me and for this kind invitation. It's my pleasure.
I am so overwhelmed and impressed with all of your accolades. These awards are such a small part of all that you do. I've been in a doctoral program and I could barely stay afloat. And in spite of this, you are running summits, not just in the UK, but worldwide. Every time I turn around, you're somewhere else. And I've been following you for a little over a year, and you can do several places in a month. Then you're writing books, and you're also editor-in-chief of Global Women Magazine. Where do you find the time?
According to me, it's very important to save the balance. And this balance means that you have to have 8 hours sleep, 8 hour work, and 8 hour leisure and pleasure and recreative time. But I think I'm in that category of people that if you are passionate of what you do and you love what you do, you don't work any day at all. So I have, I think I have manipulated this 8 hours of pleasure and creativity, because I think 16 hours that is considered work is not work for me. It's just having fun, exploring myself, learning more about the world, understanding better myself and people that I am involved. And it's amazing. So I don't see it as a work, to be honest. It's just an exploration every day and discovering yourself.
I love it. I love it. And yet, Mirella, you have started a global movement, because this is a movement. What you have done is so much beyond just, because I know a lot of women do a lot of things for women. They have, you know, coaching for women, entrepreneurship for women, training, but you've really started a movement. a global movement of women that supports, it teaches, it coaches and encourages, and the platform, then you've used that same, you know, that same platform, and you have the Global Women magazine, which promotes them and talks about the things that they're doing. So this is fascinating. Why did you find this movement to be necessary?
Well, sometimes you don't know it is a movement until you see that other people are following you. To be honest, I will be very honest with you. When I started, I had no idea that this is going to be global. So sometimes, as we say, be careful of the words, because there's an energy and vibration and you're attracting things.
That's
so
right.
When I the idea of having a Global Woman magazine, I just wanted something attractive, something that includes all the women. And it was very funny, because at the beginning, I've been in this country less than 5 years, and I was struggling to start to, I wanted to do something that I'm really passionate. I always refuse just to work for the sake of salary. I want to love what I do. So at the beginning, I started a magazine for Albanian women, because I'm from Albania. And later on, I started to meet women from other communities, because I was involved with a project of domestic violence for women, migrant women. And I met a lot of other women from other communities. I said, well, we love the magazine, but we don't understand any word. We would love to be in your magazine, but we are not Albanians. And then later on, I started another magazine that is called Migrant Woman. I said, don't worry, I do another one. So from Albanian women, I put that magazine online, and I started Migrant Woman online and print, and I started to promote it and interview women that were from all places of the world, but mainly based in London. And after a while, I met a lot of amazing British women. They loved the magazine. It was very glossary, very luxury magazine in print as well. And they looked at it and said, wow, we love the magazine, but what a shame we are not migrants. Are we allowed to be part of it? And then after a while, I said, well, why do I have to create limitations? I have to create something that includes all women of the world. What should I do? Just put in global, yeah? But when I put the name global, I had no idea this is going to go global at all.
Wow.
And here we are now in less than 2 years. Global Woman Magazine is everywhere now. When I say everywhere, online everywhere, but also we have created clubs with Global Woman. We came with this idea because I love people. I like online platforms, of course, and with technology, the digital option is absolutely amazing. But I also want to do some work offline as well, not just online.
High touch. They say, you know, technology is wonderful, but then you also want high touch. You want to be able to bring those women together in a platform where they would be able to talk and hug. You know, we women, we just love hugging. And we just want to be able to connect on a different level, which really happens when you take it offline.
That's so true, absolutely. Because I'm so called networker. I connect people everywhere. And because I was interviewing a lot of women all around the world, any time that I could see some connections and synergy, I didn't need to ask their permission. I just used to connect them. Said, oh, I think you should connect with this person. I should connect. And I saw myself connecting people. And then I said, well, probably I should invite all these women, now that they know each other virtually. They can come and meet each other. They can come and build networking and probably business partnership, because I could see that a lot of women, they are doing great in many areas, but they could not monetize their work, their skills, their experience. I call it otherwise monetize your mind. Aye. So how we came also with Global Woman Clubs, and we started to travel to different countries. And now we have clubs in Chicago, in Amsterdam, in Stockholm, in Paris, of course, in London. And we are going to LA in October, in Dubai as well. So I could see that be careful what you wish. Because you come through.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it started as a magazine. From the magazine, you started developing small clubs. And from these clubs, you actually have a summit that's come out of that.
Yeah.
My goodness. Yeah.
Before, when we had the Migrant Woman magazine, we created a platform for women that come from other countries. They don't know where to start, what to do, and probably they have a lot of experience and skills, but they don't believe on themselves. They don't have that confidence. So we created the Migrant Woman platform talks. So first we started with events with Migrant Woman. Then we registered Migrant Women as a charity, so as a non-profit organization. So we can help a lot of women that they need at the beginning some help and support. And Global Woman is a proper business that, and also trying to convince ourselves that it's okay also to be good in business. So we can do a lot with our time, with our... we can give ourselves to the world, but we came, I have come to a conclusion that if we also create a budget that is a budget that we decide how to use it, women can use so good, can use it for social good and to contribute for many good things in the world. So that's why when you put a purpose in your goal, everything that you have been seeking all the time, they come and find you because you are targeted. You stay loyal with your goal, with your mission, and you are consistent. You are very serious. You believe on what you're doing. And then you just see that things are coming and finding you. So people also come and find you. And then you have a responsibility. And also in the responsibility is to look after your circle. How is going? Who are these people that are surrounding you, and what? How you're serving to them? So, I more and more I believe on this global vision because the world is not as small as we thought anymore.
Right. That's right, and it is not, it's not as small, but it's also not as big, and we do have a social responsibility.
Yeah, I meant to say it's not as big, yeah.
It's big, right. Exactly. And then see, the reality is, and that's how I see myself as gifted, right? I've been gifted a lesson. I've been gifted knowing and learning something, and it's my responsibility to share it with the world. I feel that it's that social responsibility. I can keep it to myself. I can build it myself. I can do it myself. But I feel this social responsibility. And I really believe that when you see a problem and you're like, somebody should fix that, God is telling you, yeah, you should fix that. that's your responsibility.
Why not you? Yeah.
Why right? Exactly.
I so much resonate with what you say, and this is a very significant part of in one of my chapters of my last Don't Let Your Love Go. It's very interesting. I can see more and more women resonate with that because we believe that we come in this world with a gift, but to be honest, a lot of people, they don't bother to know that they have to discover that gift. But good enough, we see more and more women, because I'm saying women because I know them more, they are becoming aware in a higher level of consciousness to understand themselves better, but also to understand their gift. And once we discover our gift, we want to develop it. It's kind of responsibility that what should we do with it? Then we have to develop it, to grow it. And once you grow it, then you feel the need to share it with the world. And that kind of gift is the more you share, the more is given back to you. And the more you share, the more. So it's a kind of test. You validate yourself to yourself most of the time first.
Right.
And it's part of the journey.
Right, I love it. And women, and I know you know this, and as a woman, and you also know it from all the women that you've worked with, is that we innately are givers, innately we're nurturers. It's innate. So we have that in us. And so when we start developing, that's the reason why we give and we keep getting back, because it's a cycle. It's very reciprocal. You give and you get back. So it makes perfect sense. Everything you're saying makes perfect sense. And I think as women, we're more aware of that in us. And I love the fact that you're helping women, even women who are insecure and not really sure that, do I have a gift? Like, what is it? And Look, just being a mom, just being a wife, just running a home, you're a CEO. You have to take care.
They are multitask.
Yes, absolutely. And you're very aware of detail because everything at home has to run, I mean, precisely for the home to be able to run effectively, you know? So yeah, every detail. And so we're innately built that way.
Yeah, so, that's true. I absolutely agree with you. I've seen, because when we created the Global Women Clubs, the first idea came, how can we do something that immediately can have an impact on women? So we don't need to wait for long-term results, short-term results. How can I see some results? And because I've been working with women for probably more than 15 years now, about 20 years, since I was 20 years old. And I could see that, and now I have my mantra. If you want to empower a woman, give her a microphone. So when we created the Global Women Clubs, my idea was that I don't want to invite a speaker. We are all speakers. I don't need a famous speaker. We are all famous. Even when I started the magazine, I wanted to create the magazine for these heroes that are working so hard and stay behind and anonymous. And all the magazines are with the same faces. I'm okay with that. Absolutely. We need our heroes. We need these celebrities that inspire us every day. But also we have a lot of other women that they have powerful messages to share with the world. And these were the women that I wanted to discover. But also these women, they have a great ability to share their message with others when they come on stage, but they don't know that. So I created the Global Women Clubs with the idea that to invite them and speak. And I remember very well when I started to invite every single woman in the room, because at the beginning we started with 20 women, 30 women. Now we come every month with this club idea to different countries now as well, but every month in London. And we give the opportunity to all members to speak in front of the audience. And usually it's an audience of 40, 50 women. And when they come, at the beginning, when they come for the first time, say, no, I'm not a good speaker. I never have spoken before. So if you haven't spoken before, how do you know if you are a good speaker or not? You are not going to leave this home.
Absolutely.
You are telling us
yes.
who you are, what you do, what you offer, and how can we help you, and how can you help? You can help us. So I have surprised myself and surprised themselves. They are amazing women. Once they come to speak, then the problem is that they don't give the microphone back.
Yes, I love it. That's awesome. Right. So then they're like, oh my goodness, I can't speak. That's wonderful.
I remember a woman came after she missed two or three events. She suddenly came to one of our events. She said, Mirella, you know what? It's your fault. I haven't come for two, three events because I've been very busy. People have seen me in social media, in Facebook, online, magazine, speaking, and they are just being curious, what is going on with you? And my husband respects me more, my children love me more, and other people are very curious, and they have invited me to go and speak in Brazil and Argentina. I have been very busy and all sponsored. Oh my God, I didn't know I'm a great speaker. I said, wow, now your job is done. And I can see that is only one big surprise for me, to be honest. But I can see now a lot of women are case studies like that. They come and say, wow, I have a great power inside me, because they can see that they have an audience.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So you're a very powerful woman. I want to take a few steps back and I want to know your story. Like, who raised you into this fabulous woman? Like, how did this come to be? Tell me about your childhood and how this started developing in you.
Well, my past is my past, and I don't like to live in my past. I visit it sometimes. I have a coffee with my past, and I get the lessons that the past has to teach me. I say, sorry, I don't have time for you. I'm very busy. I'm a new person. I'm absolutely a different person. Every today, myself, a reborn, I'm rediscovering myself. It's limitless. It's no limit. So, of course, I believe that our past, our childhood, our environment, our genes as well, all contribute on us. But there is a deep place inside us that helps us to discover ourselves every day. And we have a say. We have a say with who we want to be. And
absolutely.
And this is what I have discovered. In the last seven, 8 years, I got a gift, and I call it the best gift that I could have. And I try to share with everyone. And that gift is a book that is called The Master Key System of Charles Hanel. So I try to tell everybody, this is a book that if you get it, it's not a book that you can read it in a day, in a week, in a year, in 2 years, in 7 years. It's a book that once you get it, it has to be with you all your life. So that book has absolutely changed my life. And I'm very grateful to Charles Hanel that helped me to be the person that I am today. So, of course, I give a lot of credits to my parents, to my a lot of challenges that I had to face in my childhood, yes. A lot of difficulties, and I can't, there are so many things that I had to face and to learn on this journey, but everything happens for a reason. And I understand now that I'm very grateful to all the miserable moments that I had in my life, because they helped me to be who I am today.
Well, you know, it is said that you learn more from the negative things that have happened than the positive things. I can tell you, I remember as a leader, right? Many years ago, I graduated with my master's, and very shortly thereafter, I started like running clinics and running departments. And I learned more from bad leadership than I did from good leadership. And I'll explain why. It showed me what not to do. It showed me what road not to take. It was all of those details were able to help me formulate me being a better person.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. But also, I remember, because I always have been a writer. I used to write a lot of poems since I was a child. And until late, my poems were very sad. They were a kind of mirror of my inner self. And it was obvious that I was not a happy person. It's because I was sharing the dark moments of human being, like why, and complaining all the time why the world is not fair, or why people behave like that, it was absolutely a kind of... reflection that of an unhappy person. But later on, when I discovered that, yes, we can learn a lot from negative aspects of our life, but we can learn more from positive aspects. So I have studied a lot of positive psychotherapy. I did a master in positive psychotherapy. I created a big movement in Albania, because I'm from Albania. As I said, with Positive Psychotherapy Center, we trained a lot of young psychologists there.
You studied psychotherapy, go ahead.
Positive psychotherapy, yeah.
Okay.
And I was saying that, yes, we can learn from negative experiences in our life, but I believe that we can learn much more from positive experiences. We need both, but if... and now I'm in a mental... environment, state, position, whatever I can call it, that I want to give the positive side of myself, not anymore just negative, because as I said, my poems were very, very sad, and it was obvious it was a kind of depression inside me, something I don't get it. I didn't know that my poems were so sad until I went back when I rebuilt myself. I said, oh my God, I can't believe that people bought my books. Books are very desperate. So I believe that people need more positive inspiration. They need to believe that they can rely on positive aspects of their lives and mirror positive aspects of themselves as well. So it's a balance of both. We go through challenges, And when our life is tough, we should be tougher. And we should stand up, wake up, and get to know the lesson. And if it comes back again, it means that we are not getting it right. So until we get it right, these things will come again and again, and we do it again and again. So I find myself a lot of times working with women, and sometimes they come in a very down place and complaining about they don't feel good, or they feel down, or they feel sad. So, and then what? That is part of human being. If we feel bad today, just accept it. Can't refuse. There is a level of the curve that when a lot of people, when they feel very down, because they try and try and try, they go ups and downs and they go back again. So when we come to a moment that we feel in a dark place, we have to reflect on that moment. We have to connect with ourselves, to sit down, to close our eyes, and to understand why this moment is in our life. And once we get in, we have to also to relish it, to honor it, and to accept it, and to understand that, yes, this is part of my life, and it's time to move back, to move on now. Right. So
Right.
That's the way I see.
I love it. And I also believe that even in the worst of circumstances, there's always, you have to look for the good in that. Even in the worst of circumstances. I know there have been things in my life that are pretty horrific. And, but I'm like, okay, but at least I'm still here. At least I'm still. And when you start thinking that way, you start pulling the positive, even in a negative situation.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Now, when you repeat and practice yourself and prepare yourself, and you come to that level of consciousness that you know why everything is coming, you don't worry anymore. Honestly, because what creates problems is not the event per se. It's the way we see the event. So when a bad event comes in my life, I just try to understand the angle and to see, okay, this is coming for something good. And everything bad that comes in our life comes for better. When something is not coming, is stopped, is blocked, it means that it's not ours. It's not our door. A better thing is coming. And when I put that intention, honestly, I have seen that happening all the time. And there are a lot of synchronicities happening. So when I ask for something and it doesn't come, okay, thanks, universe. Do you think that I deserve better? And that's the way it happens. For example, if I want an interview, let's say in X magazine, and it doesn't happen, so thanks God, okay, probably a better interview is coming, and it comes. So it's not bad. If we see it in a way that, well, it's not fair, well, who said that world is fair?
Right.
The world
is
fair. So we have to accept that. Right. So yeah, that's the way I see things, and it helps, to be honest, it helps to cope with challenges, and they are a lot. And a lot of people that know me, they wonder, is she normal? Because she never did that. Well, of course, I'm a human being. I have a lot of challenges in life. Mm-hmm. But as I remember when my son was younger, and we used to talk about these things. He said, Mom, why are you worried about problem solutions? So it's not such easy, to be honest. But problems are there for us to work with our mind
and solve them. Absolutely. I love that. I love that. And here is the thing. All, out of all of that, you've been able to help women globally. Like, that is huge, Mirella. That's huge. You're able to help so many women see themselves for who they really are, be able to grow, be able to speak. You're giving them a platform, you're giving them a voice, you're giving them a spotlight. And, you know, all of this, your past has been what has helped you become, honestly, you're that roadmap, that little brick road. You know, you've heard of the yellow brick road, the yellow brick road to success. And you've been able to do that, even from your past. Because all of these things have built you up to be able to build others. You're a thought leader. You're an amazing woman.
Oh, thank you. I don't think I'm different from others. I just think I'm following my path, my passion, my destiny. And I'm very passionate, really, on what I'm doing. And also, there is some truth on that because I've been in many challenges and I've been in many situations that I see a lot of women now. When I listen to their voice, I understand them better. And sometimes, of course, first impression is somehow subconsciously they see, oh, how can you understand? You can't understand us. Your life is so different. And when they listen to my story, because I share my story very openly, and say, excuse me? Hello? I've been there. And that's not an excuse. And that, but this is a reason for you to stand up and turn that into a big lesson and big success. Because without that, you can't be who you are today. So that, to be honest, has helped me a lot, but also has helped me to understand how to empower myself first through my mind, but also to monetize my mind. Because if there is a way that women feel they don't have enough confidence, is because of their financial issues. And that really hits me, you know. I have been in that situation many times in my life. Mm-hmm. And I've been somehow going through to understand why not only me, but a lot of my friends, they are amazing thought leaders, inspirational, doing great, everything. And at the end of the day, they don't have enough money to travel, to invest in their personal development or to do something for themselves. I said, it has to be something on this to learn. And again, I found the answer at the Master Key System. And you mentioned before the concept of giving. And that's very true because women are very, very giving. But we, for a long time, misunderstood the concept of giving, at least myself. I talk on my behalf. Mm-hmm. The way I understood giving for a long time was give everything. Give my time, give my skill, experience, everything, and not charge. No. And I felt most of the time very embarrassed asking to be paid for what I serve. But not only me. Later on, when I started to open with a lot of other women, I saw I have a lot of friends. And I said, wow, that's right. Yes. Now, what I think is that, yes, it's very important for us to give. But giving means that we give our skills, our expertise, our experience, our loyalty, our inspiration, everything we have. But that has an invoice. That has a value.
Oh,
and the value that
love it.
And sharing and giving doesn't mean giving finance. It means that we are a gift to the world and the world needs us as a woman. I mean, every woman has a value, has something that other people don't have. So our gift has to be shared. But if we don't put a value on that, because Charles Hanel again says, every transaction has to benefit both parts.
For a
long time, I was not understanding what does he mean with both parts. Both parts, now everything that I do, any kind of transaction, financial and not financial, I think, is it benefiting me? Is it benefiting the other side? It has to benefit both parts. Otherwise, it doesn't work. On the moment that I got this model, I said, well, first, most of the time, women think, is it good for other people? Yes, I will. It doesn't matter for me. They put themselves on the back. But also, there are some other people, they think, is it good for me? I don't care for others. It doesn't work like that.
No.
It has to be beneficial for both parts. It's an energy exchange. That's why the more you get back, the more you contribute. And the more you get back, the more you contribute. And then you have a dignity. And then you have a story to tell. And your story can reach a bigger audience. So that's the message I try to convey to all women. Giving is not giving for free.
Right. And as women, we're used to that because as mothers, it's an unrewarding, I mean, monetarily, it's an unrewarding job. But the reality is that we bring a lot of value, and the better trained we are, the more experiences, even our experiences have a monetary value. So I am so, I have to tell you, if nothing else, if nobody has a takeaway from this interview, that is the most important part, because we have a tendency of not putting a price, not putting a value in on, you know, into our time, what we're giving. We don't put a price on it. And then in the end, we feel cheated. We feel we've been wronged. But reality is we did it. We did it to ourselves because we never put a price on it.
Yes.
And that we do that with relationships. We do that in friendships. We do that in so many different areas. And the other thing, the other side of the coin is that as women, oftentimes, Minella, we feel that our friends owe us to give us their intellectual property, their information free.
No.
Because that's our friend. So she should be giving me this free. And I've had a lot of those experiences. And it makes for a bad taste in your mouth. They're disappointed because you're not giving it. You're disappointed because that's what they're expecting from you. And it's unfair.
Yeah, but we are getting there.
Yes.
We are learning because, to be honest, this is a new journey for a lot of women. Before, there were some groups that were kind of coming together. But have you seen there are so many women's platforms recently? Mm-hmm. Also, somehow I try to be careful. We involve men in our events as well, because I don't want to be seen like against men, but we need to involve more and more men to understand us better. Because, and we say that the more we understand each other, the better for both of both men and women, and the better for the world. So it's not, to make it clear, it's not men against women or women mm-hmm. against men, but women come together first to come to a higher level of consciousness and to understand that they are not alone. They can learn a lot from each other, but also we are very inclusive to men to come and understand us as well.
I love that. And there are things also that men bring to the table that women need to learn.
Yes, of course.
Because oftentimes men need to learn our tenderness and we need to learn their structure, because oftentimes men will not undervalue themselves ever. They put a price on something and no one questions it. And I think that's one of the things that we need to learn from them. And they need to learn how to be a little more tender. So I think it's a beautiful combination, bringing men into almost, bringing them into the women's world and into the women's mind. And then, but there are things that we need to pull from them also. Would you agree?
Yeah, I absolutely. In our Global Woman Club, I remember at the beginning, we said, this is women only. And then we had a few men coming and said, well, I love your group. And why you don't ask your women if they want, if they say no, then because we definitely had a man at the beginning that he was insisting, and he just came because he heard from online social media. Right. And I said, sorry, but this is women only. He said, well, why you are excluding me? You just see, you ask women. And I asked women, said, should we invite him to be part of the group? Should we allow him? Said, yeah, let's have him. And I really love that. So of course, then we talk a lot of other events that we do. We do a lot of other events, big events. We have one on Wednesday, for example. We are expecting 200, 300 women. And it's a new platform that we bought. It's called the Business Women Today. It's a social media for women in business. And that is for women only, to be honest, because the online media. And I have to say, when I started the Global Woman Club and we were only women, it felt very safe.
Yes.
And I would suppose that I was inviting very, very strong women, because it was called Business Breakfast. And there were women in business doing very well, very strong, resilient. And we were supposed to come and talk business. But because it felt very safe, women only, very private, guess what? We ended up crying almost all the time.
Aww.
So it was very emotional. Yeah. It was a very powerful crying, very emotional connection. So we were talking business, and also understanding that it's not easy. And we are also understanding that we are not alone in this journey. Right. So they are positive aspects of being women only as well, because I've seen the difference. If we have some men in the group, then we get another position. We don't feel so open to share our emotions.
Okay, all right, I understand that. That makes sense. So you have, would it be fair to say that you have the balance of both? You have the balance of the women only, and then there are certain areas or there's certain events that you would invite men also.
Yes, so, absolutely. We have the Global Women Summit on the third and the fourth of June, just a month ago. Okay. And we had about 300 people there, and I was very pleased. Of course, speakers were in a good balance. We had women and men speakers. Also, I was very surprised to see a lot of delegates. There were men as well. They wanted to come and learn what is this platform called Global Woman, and what can we learn from that. So it was very nice to see that. So absolutely. Now, again, on Wednesday, we have the Business Women Today conference. It's a new platform to encourage more women in business, because, as I said, we see that women can be great in business as well. We want to encourage more women to discover their entrepreneurial gifts. And we have two keynote speakers. They are men. The MC is a man. Of course, majority are women. Right. And the whole idea is that how we can come to that zone, that we can build our confidence, that if we are great in other areas, we can do great in business as well, and we can learn from each other. So
wonderful. That's,
thank
that's
you.
That's wonderful. I love it. So coming from a futurist perspective, I would like to know a little bit more about, how do you think you're innovative, and how can you innovate even more in your Global Women's platform?
Well, innovation is very, very important in any kind of business.
Absolutely.
And it fits me very well, because I love change and I get bored very quick. So all the time my mind is thinking, what should I do something different? Because I can't just do the same things all the time. And the good thing is that I always, when I start things, I don't let things in the middle. I finish everything. But because I'm very loyal and very committed on the mission that I get, I get also very bored. I always try to be innovative. And innovative in business means also to think, how can you give your audience, your platform, what they need? But also, how can you monetize that as well? Because if you want to be sustainable in business, you have first to be visible, to work a lot with your branding, with your marketing. Right. And as I say, all you need in business is a platform and a product. So with what I have seen, a lot of women, they have a great platform perhaps, but they have nothing to sell. They don't have a product. Oh, they have a product, but nobody is buying their products because they don't have a platform. So now with the technology, it's very important to match these two together and be innovative. So if something has been working yesterday, very good, doesn't mean that the same model can work today. So we have to be open-minded and see how we change this, because I have a model today that I'm happy, but I'm very flexible to change it immediately like that. And I take decisions very quick. A lot of people that know me, they say, and I usually say, that I first do it and then I think about it. So once I feel that my subconscious is ready, I'm doer. I want to do it. And even if it doesn't go as I want to, I still learn. I still get the best of it. I don't see anything as a failure. For me, everything is just a learning process. So innovation, it means that you have to take risks. And I'm a risk taker.
Right. I love that. So one of the things that I always teach people in terms of innovation is, how can you innovate? And how innovative is change? People hate change. but I explain that it's not change for the sake of change, but it's change. Your biggest competition should be yourself.
Yes.
You should always look to make yourself more marketable. You should look at your product. You should look at your service. You should look at what you do and always figure out how can you make it even better.
Yeah.
It should always be, and that competition is with yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's what I find with you. Like, you've taken a lot of women are doing things for women, but you're taking that to the next level and constantly like perfecting it. And if you see a need and you hear, what I also see with you is that you listen to your audience. You listen to these women. And you're like, here's a magazine. Well, you know what? We should have things where we can get together. Well, let's start groups. Well, you know, we need to learn more. Well, let's have summits. And you keep evolving. And you're not just making these changes like, okay, I'm bored. Let's do something else. But you're improving you already have. So the change is not, it's a cycle in progression.
Oh, it's absolutely.
It's sustainable because you're building. It's building blocks on what you already know, what you already have. That's what's fascinating.
After every event, we do a survey and we ask women to give us their honest opinion, what they want, what do they think. And that really helps. It helps a lot because they are very open on what their needs are. And all the time, I just try to match their needs, to meet their needs. And what I have realized is recently, that's why my business went absolutely to the next level, because I provided a platform that has been missing, especially in the women's industry. I wanted to create something very practical, not just wishy-washy, I call it.
Right,
so women need branding. Women need promotion. Women need confidence. Women need to empower themselves. Women need the connection, the networking. And I have all of that. If you need to build your confidence, come and join the club. We are all equal. And I always say, it doesn't matter where you sit. Napoleon Bonaparte used to say, where I sit is the head of the place. We are all equal. We are all the same. The club doesn't belong to me. It belongs to members. If you don't exist, I don't have a club. So they are more important than me. So we are absolutely very inclusive. And the whole platform provides them PR, marketing, branding. If they want consultation, how to start their own business, they get that as well. Design, website, IT, speaking engagement, coming, traveling with us, networking, connection. And once they get all of that, it is all they need. But also, I'm very big believer of, we don't need just teaching, do that, just coaching and mentoring. I don't pay a lot of attention on that, to be honest. And recently, I don't do mentoring because I don't have time. And all I think women need is platform, opportunities. So somebody teaches me that you need this and this and this, but I don't have a door and a platform where to apply it, how I'm going to do it? So women that come to Global Women Club, they first do it. And then when they see that they are really doing it their own way, then they go and seek for mentoring and coaching. How can they do it better? But we, as we say, learning by doing. The best way to learn it is do it.
Doing it.
And learn from that.
I love it. I love it. Okay, so here's my last question, and it's probably the most powerful, and I hope you don't need a few minutes to think about this. Where do you see Global Women? The business, the magazine, the whole, where do you see it 10 years from now, 25 years from now?
I like that 25 years.
25 years. Yes, really. 25 years from now, where do you see it?
Well, now, as I said, when you start doing, then you start preparing yourself that you need to learn what you're doing. You need to learn that how can you improve what you're doing. And because what I'm doing is bringing some great results in the community that we have built globally, I feel very responsible, to be honest. I feel very responsible. What I'm doing, it's given to me. I'm a channel. that I'm used for this purpose, for this mission.
I can't
just make it like, now I have done a lot of work with myself and I have accepted this gift and I'm very honored and very privileged and I can see that my work has an impact. It doesn't matter where you are. Every woman that is doing something has an impact in the other corner of the globe. And I so much believe on that. I also have learned that to work a lot with my subconscious. I have explained this model in my book, Don't Let Your Mind Go, but now I'm revising it. And I'm very happy that I have good news very soon with a new publisher. Okay. And the whole idea is, and really this is the last message I want to leave the audience with, is that we have 10% of our mind that is conscious and is only 90% that is subconscious. Mm. And we all know. Most of the time, we use this 10% of the, as much as we can. We don't use 10%, full 10% all the time.
Don't. No.
A little. Mm-hmm. But we need to do a lot of work with the subconscious. And our consciousness has to kind of protect our subconscious intuition, inner guide, everything that is in that 90%, and guide it as well, because it's like a guardian. The subconscious mind doesn't think. That's why I use that 10% of mind to work with my subconscious and tell what I want to do, because most of the time I've been just doing it blindly. But now I have to guide my subconscious and tell exactly what I want to do. It doesn't work anymore. Just, you can't go far, just go without having a plan with your subconscious. Absolutely. So now I'm trying to work with my subconscious and get the most of it and benefit from that gift and get a bigger picture, get a bigger vision. And believe on that, stay loyal, because we will be put in a lot of challenges and tests. Mm-hmm. So we have to stay loyal with our mission. And because of that, I feel that I'm guided and I give a clear guidance to my subconscious, I believe that I can multiply my gifts and I can give more to the world. And I can feel fulfilled and help a lot of other women fulfilled and make them believe that if a woman like me, coming from a small village, starting everything from scratch, has the confidence to believe that is able to follow her passion, because I don't think I've done any big thing, to be honest, but I've done the best of my gift, you know, because I've seen other women doing amazing, incredible things. But I'm very happy to compare myself with who I was yesterday. And this is how I try to also share with my audience all the time. It's my mantra. You don't need to compare yourself with others or to feel inferior or superior. You just feel every day a little bit better than you were yesterday, and you feel that you are in your mission and stay loyal with your mission, and then your job is done.
I love it. So in 25 years, you'll just keep improving what you've already done and make
That's
it better and better and better. I love it. Oh, Mirela, I tell you, I have really enjoyed this interview. It has been wonderful, enlightening. You're a wonderful person. You have great energy, so positive. You've done so many great things in your life. And I tell you, I see you 25 years from now changing the world. Seriously, changing the world. Because
we all can do that.
Right. Well, because here is the thing, we will do it together, but we all need a leader. And you have led, your position of leadership has really been amazing. A few years ago, I was reading a book and I came across the Enso. I don't know if you've ever heard of Enso.
Yes.
Enso, right? And he did that painting, and it was about Jesus. And in the picture, you look for Jesus, and he was in the middle, and he led from the middle. That to me was so powerful because there were people ahead of him. There were people behind. He was in the middle, prodding the ones ahead along and bringing along those that were behind. That's the picture of Minera Sula.
Beautiful. Oh, thank you. Thank Minera you. Sula. It has been such a pleasure. Yes, thank you very yes. much.
So you're a powerful woman, and I thank you for the work that you've done. I thank you for the direction that you're going, and I am honored to be a part of you and your movement and anything that I can do for you.
Thank you very much for what you're doing, and I think what you're doing is incredible. It's absolutely amazing, and I really love what you do, and I'm a big fan of your interviews. You are helping the world to learn more about incredible things that women are doing, and positive people are doing.
And innovation, that's my whole thing, is that whole innovation. And yeah, so I want to thank you. I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank you for taking your time. I know how busy you are. So it's a real honor to have you here. And so thank you so much. And to the audience, I want to thank you for coming back again and listening to another fabulous interview. Mirela Sula is an amazing woman. Follow her, follow her wherever she is, because she's on Facebook. She's on so many different platforms. She is the pioneer of global women, and anything under global women would be under her. And I'll see you next week with another fabulous interview. I thank you so much for being here, for coming, for participating. Ask all the questions that you want. She's brilliant. She can answer any question. So again, I'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for being with us on Business Foresight, always creating strategies towards an extraordinary future. Remember, I'm here with you with strategies every Saturday. I'll see you next week.